اما كان most of these girls very young girls مش كده maybe 5 years 7 years most of you were very young that time but thanks to God now God is with us this journey for 7 years and when I see the same faces coming shining كده and you are mature I say but this is time and that was what was in my heart and what should we do يعني طبعا it is not I do no effort in this conference only I come to speak and I get تعال يا حبيبي في هنا اماكن فضلنا كده اه come quickly يلا quickly thank you sit down yes very good وممكن بصي انيس حبيبي ممكن الكراسي دي يعمل لنا كده صف هنا انيس يس ثانك يو حبيبي يلا هيلب هيلب ايوه اعملوا كده يس ارو هير سو كان اد مور بيبل ف اي واز praying when I was coming in the aeroplane what God wants us خلاص حبيبي ثانك يو كان هاف ا سيت what should we do All these years, many people tire for us and pray for us and prepare conferences and even contribute money, effort, everything that will be here. But why? All these years, Jesus knocked our hearts, show us His love, His glory. All this time, all of us sit down, always I listen from you a beautiful stories about miracles of the Lord. Is that true or not? Was the Lord gracious with you in these 7 years or not? How many say yes? I can remember every moment of this year, 7 years, there was miracle. Is that true or not? I see a few hands. Abuna Anthony will be sad now. It seems that God is doing miracles in America, بس. Then if I say that, أنا كنا عاملين meeting, I went there in the middle of the week, last week, Monday. كنا عاملين meeting for Monday for one of the houses. Basement, actually. And there were about more than 200 people there shouting fiery kida. And I said to him, no, you will see in London more fiery people. It seemed I was mistaken. Sleepy people here. I'm in the wrong place. Sorry, Abuna, I brought you to the wrong place. You are sleepy or fiery?
Fiery.
Fiery or sleepy? Die. Was the Lord gracious to you or not these 7 years? Did He do miracles in your life or not? How many say yes, He did a lot of miracles? Yes, He was so gracious. That's true. Yes. So many of you, your faces are shining. So these 7 years, the Lord was us doing miracles, touching us, blessing us. He should have an aim for that. But why? What is the aim of the Lord? He was with us every moment, not every day, these last 7 years. And all the time protecting, blessing us. What should we do? What God wants from my life? عشان كده السيم بتاع الكونفرنس ده هيبقى more like God wants my life, my heart, my life to be for Him. عشان كده بس don't think when we speak about consecration معناها انك to wear black dress or to be a monk or a nun or no this consecration means my heart should love the Lord and only the Lord and that is the theme يعني God bless Abuna Thomas حبيبي when he spoke to me and Abuna Yohanna called me yesterday طبعا I was about to lose my flight as normal discussing this theme yesterday what the Lord wants from my life فأبونا choose for us Psalm 18. بص كده. حد read for us كده. هقراكم 3 verses to introduce أبونا how he will speak to us. بص كده. Psalm 18 verse 1. هقراكم جزء من 18, 16 and 17. حد يرانا كده في الأول Verse 1, Psalm 18. Quickly, kiddo. Yes, Yeju. Yalla, quickly, kida. Who read for us, kida?
Verse 1. I will love you, O Lord, my strength.
He said, I love you, Lord, my strength. Why are you laughing? طيب بعدين بس بلاش قوة بعدين I say that to him what his answer for me verse 8 Psalm 17 هدينا كده خلينا كده Psalm 17 verse 8 God answer us. What is answer here, Nabiul? What he say to me here? I will keep you as the apple of my eye. I will hide you under the shadow of my wings. I say to him, I love you, Lord. I could find you make my life different. Everything is different. Your love make life like all life for you. And God answered me and said, yes, I will keep you also as the apple of my eye. I will hide you under the shadow of my wing. And what's my answer for that? Psalm 16, verse 5. What is the answer of the Lord? What's my answer for him? Yeah, look at the 5-6 and 5-6. How did it for us, kida? Who did it for us, kida?
O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup, you maintain my love.
It's beautiful, kida. I answer him, Ullu, Lord, you are the best inheritance for me. You are the best portion. I mean, that David is speaking here about when a person, when a family divide the inheritance here, what they do? They throw a rope, kida, and what the person get is, the priest or high priest, يمسك rope, kida, ويرمي, but then the place where the rope is yours. And he said, if the Lord will keep me like the apple of his eye, if the Lord is the love of the Lord in my heart, if the Lord is always keep me under the shadow of his wing, this is the time the Lord will be the best portion for me. The best. Love him. God is so satisfying for me. I don't need anything with him. How many of us can say now, while you are starting this conference, the Lord is enough. God is everything for me. Not God bless. And always in our daily life, I say, yes, I love the Lord, Satan, and I want to find God is the best portion for me. Bless something else. How many they have this bless with them? How many they have bless? Then how many they have the Lord as a best portion without bless at all? How many? Who say, yes, God is enough for me. I don't need something besides the Lord. No hand is up. Ah. What do you mean? تعال. يلا. استيقك بسرعة بسرعة. That game with أخرين دول نيمانين. بسرعة. Quickly. Jump in the front here. يلا. يلا. ريو. Come بسرعة. تعالنا to the front. يبنات. يلا. Quickly. يلا. مين تعال في الفرونت يلا how many say God is enough for me this is كده What is beautiful here? When David said, "The Lord, I love you, Lord, my strength." Actually, the original word, "I love you from all my heart." And I was searching the original word لما أبونا توماس disturbed me about this verse. I have to talk about the original word. يقول, the word "I love you" here never mentioned again in the Bible. Only this is the only time it was mentioned, this word here. And it means, I love him with all my heart. I love him like the only love. I feel my واحد love. Yes. When I say love was so deep in my heart, بالظبط كده. I love him with this love completely. تعالي بنات to the front. Come here. Come بسرعة. عندنا البنات في لندن very humble زي ما انت شايف كده. This is the only time this word was mentioned in the Bible. Could you discover that God is enough, that his love is enough for you or not? This is the conference. Here, always I hear from people telling me, Sayyidina, why my life is always up and down? Why you come to this conference? I feel fiery for 1-2 weeks, but then I let my life go down. So there's something wrong. Yes, something wrong. It's abnormal. 100% abnormal. What's wrong? Why I can't keep his love? Because till now, I couldn't discover the love which is coming from deep. That from deep, that can show me that I'm so precious to the Lord. That God is everything for me. I can't live without him. And in the meantime, he answers me all the time. I keep you like the apple of my eye. You are so precious to me. Do you feel that you are precious to the Lord or not? How many feel that he or she is precious to the Lord? Who feels that? Yes, I'm so unique to him. I'm so particular. When I pray, he stops the songs of end and say, no, quiet. I want to listen to my son or my daughter. I'm so happy to listen to me. And even when I pray, he keeps me under his wings. And he like about to hug me, can only, I love you very much, like the apple of my eyes. Look how it's enough. And this is the time I will never stop saying to the Lord, but the Lord is my portion. He's my inheritance. I don't need something beside him. He is enough for me. He married her when she sat down under the feet of the Lord and said, Lord, you are enough. Master was fighting with her. She said, come, help me. I said, no, I don't want. I don't like that. Why? Because God is enough for me. How many? I pray that this conference will help us to go deeper with the Lord, to discover that God is enough for me. I want to go from this conference and say, God, Lord Jesus, I love you from all my heart. Very unique love. And I know that you love me. But also, I will say to you all the time, you are enough for me. I don't want anything except you in my life. Please be revealed. And I pray, always love, Dali, come. Say, come to the front, Anna. Yes. Shatter. Always, I feel that his love is enough for me. But that always, what I pray, and this love, where we pray all of us that Abuna Anthony can help us to be immersed in this love this time. That this love can change our hearts. Make heart of love of love. A loving heart. Which can't stop loving the Lord. Always I remember kida St. Paul, when he was saying, the love of the Lord is, what he said? The love of the Lord is a? Is? What he was saying? Love of the Lord is a? Doing what? Are you asleep, خلاص? Then I will ask Abuna Anthony to speak دلوقتي. طنط سوزي جبت لنا البتاع ده البيرسول ده اللي بيصحصحهم. He said, the love of the Lord is constraining me. It's controlling me. I can't escape from love. عشان كده in Romans 8, who can separate us from love of Christ? Can we pray كده, all of us now, كده, close our eyes, that God bless Abuna Anthony to put us in this, to keep us in this love, which we can't be separated. Let us كده pray from our hearts that God can keep us, help us this conference to be in that unique love, that satisfying love, that healing love, which make us always that we don't want to go away from it. The atmosphere of love which is like reviving us and make us different people. Lord, I thank you because this conference is about love. The best love is your love. No other love except your love. The true love is you, Jesus. Please help us this time. Please bless my fathers, Anthony, and all my fathers, that they can keep us in that love which heals, which you could see on the cross pouring for us. That love which is melting, that we can receive him, that he can be ours. That is, this love will make us like divine people, blessed people, different people. Lord, I pray that keep us this conference in that atmosphere of love, divine love, Jesus love, which can consecrate us, which can change us and make us this time that everyone this time can't go from this place, can't escape from this love, and can't go from this place without complete like a covenant, the promise, I will live for this love. And that love is enough for me. I don't want any other love except this love. And I can accept every love through only this love. We thank you, Lord, for my fathers, my brothers, sisters, who allowed me in all my weakness and sins to be with them. Thank you for fathers who trouble themselves to bless us in this conference. We are praying to Abuna Anthony that you can bless him and help him that he can keep us in that love, the everlasting love, Jesus' love, the only love. We pray that in the holy name with the Blessed Mother Virgin Mary, Saint Mark, all the saints. Amen. Yalla, in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Okay. Ali, but I can't sit down. Misha, you must have seen the book, sir. Yalla, far away. يلا لسه وبص يا جماعه بليز احنا تيل ذا اند مش عايز سام بيبل جو داون اوت ان ذا اند خلاص وانا بونا ستارت نو وان تالت ايزيز انا عايزك تحط كرسي هنا لو اي حد دخل وطلع المهم يبقى اهو او سويت فروم ذا وين خلاص دلوقتي احنا هنسمع بونا انتوني ما ينفعش نعمل ديستراكشن اول ذا تايم ان اند اوت
Okay. Can you guys all hear me? If I talk like this, you can hear me? Okay. Rule number one. Rule number one, Americans don't have accents. Everyone else does. Rule number two, if you think that rule number one is incorrect, please refer to the Revolutionary War back in whatever year that was. Okay? Then you'll find out the truth. Hey, I'm really happy that to be here, and I am, on a serious note, happy that you guys invited me. And I know that I personally have a tendency to speak somewhat quickly at times, okay? So if I do that, please don't hesitate. Someone do something, you know, stand up, throw something at me. Anything is fine. Get my attention, because sometimes you get a little bit carried away right here. So I did hear lots of very, very good things about this group right here, and Satan has spoke very, very highly of you, as he spoke very highly of the priest right here, and it's very evident just in the first, my very, very little experience with people here is very, very, very positive. And you guys are a good group, so God bless you guys. But we don't want to be a good group. We want to be a great group. And if you came in a good group, we want you to be a better group. And if you came in a great group, we want you to be a more greater group. And that's the whole point of this weekend, is that wherever, kind of like Abuna said in the beginning, and like Satan spoke to us, is that we all kind of take a step wherever it is that we're coming from. So with that in mind, what we're going to talk about here tonight, there's a phrase that we have in America, which I don't know if you guys have here, I imagine you do, it goes something like, get a life. Maybe you've heard of the expression, get a life. Well, tonight what we want to kind of do an introduction for, and hopefully by the end of this retreat here figure out, is how to really get a life. And what I mean by that is recently some different experiences kind of came up for me personally in a church back home. Like weird things were happening where we would have, like we had a couple funerals, and we also had like some babies being born and baptized and stuff like that. And I myself have a kid who's coming soon. Maybe any of these days right now, I do at the end of this month, so we're praying it doesn't come on here. So somehow in my mind, a lot has been the issue of life. Because you see lives ending, and you see lives beginning. And somehow that contrast, when you see them both like back to back, it makes you kind of think about like what's the point of it all, and like what's the end of life, and what's the purpose, and kind of like where is all this stuff leading to? Because you see people coming in and people clapping and zagariting and woo and all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, like fast forward a day, you see another person who started off with the zagarit and all that kind of stuff and laid in the tomb, people crying. And some have lots to show for it, some have nothing to show for it. Some have earthly to show for it, some have spiritual to show for it. But it just makes you kind of think. Also, I was sitting with someone recently. And I was thinking about them when I was coming here, because this person is like a child of confession of mine, someone who I'm, you know, very, very close friends with. And this person was doing very, very good spiritually in high school. And then they went off to college and they, you know, did a little bit of strain and stuff like that. And then this person decided to take a trip to Europe for Christmas break. This person came back from Europe. It wasn't in England. It was in, like, France, I think. Came back very sad. Okay, very, very, very sad, because some of the decisions that this person made was really, really, really bad. Okay, and the consequences of these decisions were bad, but potentially life-destroying. Okay, they were bad consequences, but potentially like end-of-life kind of consequences. I don't need to get into any of the details. Anyway, I was sitting with this person, and this person said something. This person was crying, and this and that. We sat and talked and prayed, etc., etc. And then this person said something like, you know, life is bad or something like that. I can't remember exactly how this person phrased it, that my life is really bad right now. And she put together all these different factors which contributed to this, and my life is really bad. And the consequences are so bad. And I just, like, I had to pause for a second there, and I had to say, you know, I agree that your situation is bad right now. But I want you to agree with me that your situation is bad because the decisions that you made were bad. It's not like you were handed a bad life. It's not like you were given a troubled situation or whatever off the bat. You made certain decisions that led you to the bad consequences. And of course she agreed. But that got me to thinking something that I want all of us to accept right off the bat here. Is that you have a choice in life. The outcome of your life, I was talking about where your life ends up. You have a choice about how the outcome of your life will be. You have a choice about what your funeral is going to be like. You have a choice as to where you end up in life. And to me, there's only two choices. There's ordinary, and then there's blessed by God. That's it. There's really only two options. 99% of people in life will be very happy, content to choose A. Normal life. And if you think about it, if you're honest, again, I don't know the culture here in England, but I don't think it's that much different than where I'm from. What we're taught from a very, very young age is just to blend in, right? Don't stick out. Because if you stick out, you'll get made fun of, you'll get laughed at. The key to life, when I was growing up, when I was in junior high school, my only goal in life was not to stick out, okay? Not for my nose to stick out, not for my belly to stick out. I don't want to stick out. I just want to blend in and be like everyone else. And the world tells us this, but this is not what God tells us. And God tells us, no, I want you to stick out. Because I want to give you something better than ordinary. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, everyone has this verse memorized. John 10:10 says, John 10:10, if you don't have it memorized, you're in trouble. It says there's two entities in life, a thief and a me, Jesus, and they have different goals. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they, or you, may have life and have it more abundantly. There's two choices in life. Ordinary, which is the devil trying to steal the good stuff, which is what God wants to give you, what Jesus came to give you. What I hope, see, the thing is, here's the thing. Every single person, regardless of whether they realize or don't realize it, wants a better life. Everyone wants a more abundant life. Sometimes we try to pretend like we don't. Sometimes we don't realize that we do. But I know that if I get any one of you, take you one-on-one, away from the crowd, away from the looking cool and the trying to be this and the reputation, and I get you back here, and I say, be real with me. Are you content with your life, or do you want better? I had never met one person who doesn't want better, who doesn't want more, doesn't want something greater. Something, and especially with you guys, okay, that I know that you're saying, I really want that life that's just blessed by God. Because you know what? When God's hand is there, then life is abundant. Then things that look like water become wine. Then things that look like they only feed a little boy and his little lunch pail feed 5,000 people. Then things that look like death really are life. When life is blessed by God. And I know that each one of you wants it as well. Well, here's the good news for you. That you can get it this weekend. And that's the goal of this weekend. The goal of this weekend is to walk out with the abundant life. The goal of this weekend is to walk out with a more complete idea and realization of what God has, where's this abundance in life? The thing is everyone is chasing this, but some people are chasing it the wrong way. Everyone here has dreams. I'm sure you do. I'm sure if I said, tell me about your dreams, I'm sure the girls would tell me about their wedding day, and their dress, and their hair, and this boy so cute, and my mom this, and my dad this, and I'm sure guys would talk about, I don't know, what would guys talk about? Winning the Super Bowl, and being an MVP, or making money, or whatever. Everyone's got dreams, or promotions, or whatever aspirations that you may have in life. I think if you took all of your dreams, you put them all together, you multiplied them by 15, and you added them all up together, they would be nothing compared to the dreams that God has for you. Do you believe me or don't believe me? This is a very critical point that you must realize, that the greatest thing that you could hope to accomplish in life is nothing compared to what God wants to accomplish in you and through you and with you. You believe that or don't believe that? Look at it this way. There's a little show in America, which maybe some of you have heard of. I have not really seen that many episodes, maybe one or two. It's called The Simpsons. Do you guys know this show? Simpsons. Some of you may have heard of it, okay? So there's one episode of The Simpsons. 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 How do you say Simpsons here in England? The Simpsons, a funny show. And there was a particular episode. The principle of the story is stupid, but it does make a point to us. The principle of the episode was all about, okay, you know how Bart is the son, okay? Homer has the three kids, and one of the kids is Bart. Well, it was like one of these Halloween episode things where Bart apparently had a twin brother. Okay, some of you have seen it. Okay, very good. Some of you have seen it. Okay, so apparently, for those of you who haven't seen it, that apparently when they were born, Bart had a twin brother. Okay, but he was like an evil twin brother, and they were separated at birth. So basically, because he was an evil twin, basically what Homer and Marge did is they locked him up in the attic. Okay, and he lived his whole life in the attic, and all he did his whole life was lived up there. When he went to the bathroom, he went to the bathroom in the attic. When he ate, they threw stuff up through the windows, and he ate in the attic. Whenever he needed anything, they gave it to him in the attic. He never left the attic. His whole life is attic this, attic that. Let's call him Attic Boy. Attic Boy, let's say today is Attic Boy's 18th birthday. And I go to Attic Boy. And I say, hey, look, Attic Boy, today's your lucky day. I'm a magic genie, and I'm going to give you 3 wishes. Anything you ask for, I'm going to give you. What do you think Attic Boy would ask for? Let's think about this logically. Attic Boy has lived his whole life in the attic. All the Attic Boy knows is the attic. Only kind of thing he knows to sleep on is wood. Only thing he knows how to eat is the crumbs they throw up in the window. Only thing he knows is attic this and attic that. I think Attic Boy would say something like, maybe you could make me another window here in the attic so I get more light. I only got one window. Or maybe Attic Boy would say, maybe you could turn up the heat. It's kind of chilly up here. I don't have any heat. Or maybe Attic Boy would say that you could feed me twice a day instead of just once a day. Attic Boy would probably ask for pretty stupid things if you kind of think about it. And if you and I were there, you'd say, Attic Boy, ask to get out, man. Ask for a TV. Ask for an Xbox, something, the music. Ask for someone to come up there and hang out with you. You'd say, Attic Boy, you're not being very smart. But you know what? The problem with Attic Boy is he doesn't know what a TV is because he's never been out of the attic. He doesn't know that there's such a thing as out of the attic. He thinks everyone lives in an attic because he's only known an attic his whole life. Well, you know what? The same way we would look at Attic Boy and say, you know what? There's so much better out there you don't know nothing about, man. I think God looks at us the same way. I think that sometimes our greatest dreams in life, God's like, that's your dream? Make money? That's your dream? That one Sunday school kid comes to church because of you? That's your dream in life? Okay, I mean, fine. If that's what you want, here. But that's not my dream for you. See, some of us don't know any better because we never tasted of the abundant life. We don't think that there could be something better. But our Lord Jesus Christ comes and says, I've come to give you abundant. If you look at all the miracles that Christ did, he never did a small miracle. Find me a small miracle. Find me someone who was sick and became halfway healed. Find me a time when he made food and fed half the number of people there. Find me a time where he even just satisfied all their needs. He doesn't. Satisfied plus abundance. He makes water into wine. Compare the first wine to the end wine. Okay? The guy, the master said, you know what? The end wine, man, that's even better than the beginning kind of a wine. Our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't do small. He only does abundant. So our goal here this weekend is to find that abundance. And I got the answer for you. Ready? I'm going to give you the answer in one sentence. Answer is you can't find it. Not on your own, at least. You can't find the abundant life on your own. The abundant life that Christ came to give and that God wants you to have, these big dreams that God has for you, it's not something that I can say, okay, go do your quiet time, read this chapter, and come back with the abundant life. It's not that way. It's not a formula that works that way. We have a lot of hypotheses on our own, but you know what Proverbs says? Proverbs 16:25. This is very true. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. That's the way the abundant life is for many people. We think we know what it is. Oh, the answer is this. Oh, the answer is I need to do my quiet time every day. Oh, the answer is I just need to do more of this. Oh, the answer is, and we think we know what it is. But you can't, like, it doesn't work that way. The reason why is Because the abundant life, by definition, is something that you can't dream about and something that you have never experienced and you can't comprehend. So it has to work the other way. There's a very nice verse in the Bible. You must understand this verse. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Think about this. All says you, talking about God, created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. By your will they exist and were created. Included in the they is the me. Okay? So I'm going to change that verse to say, by your will I exist and I was created. And by his will you exist and you were created. So you know what that says to me? Is that God, okay, again, follow me here. God says, I have an abundant life for you and something great planned out here for you. And from the beginning of time, I had it planned for you. And believe it or not, that's the purpose of your existence. I didn't create you for the ordinary. I created you for the great. And from the beginning, I wanted to give it to you. Did you realize, like this is like one of those main like, you know the word, like the paradigm shift? You know what that is? You have a paradigm shift in life when you change your perspective on things, okay? This can be one of those paradigm shift kind of a things. That the reason that you're here is for God's pleasure. Because you were created by God's will. The example that I think of right here is a parent with his children. I have a kid who's about 2 years old. Sorry, more than 2 years old. He just turned 2 years old recently, okay? And I have another kid who's on the way. He's in the oven right now and should be coming out soon. Why I have kids? This is one that Satan can't understand to this day. Why I have kids? Why I have kids? Why? What do they do? What do they contribute to my existence? How do kids make my life better in any way? They don't help pay the bills, okay? And in fact, they're quite expensive if you never had kids on your own. I did some minor calculations, and you would be shocked the amount of money that you're costing your parents, okay? You should be ashamed of yourselves. Kids don't help around the house. They don't make the house any cleaner. They don't add much value to my life in any way. Why do I have kids then? Easy. Because I want to. Because I want a kid around. Because I want a kid. And I love that kid, and I want to love that kid, and I want that kid to love me, and I want him to be my kid, and I want to be his daddy, and I want to love him, and I want him to love me, because I want to. Easy. End of story. Same thing with God. Why am I here? To do this? No. You're here very simply. Because God loves you. And because God wants you around. God doesn't need you, just like I don't need my kid. My life would be much easier. I should say, my wife's life would be much easier. We're going to be fair and who the kid taking duties. If the kid didn't exist. And you know what? God's life would be easier if you were out of his hair too. But that's not the point. It's that he wants you around. He likes having you around. And the same way that I created my kid and I love him and he's there only because I want him, I have a great plan for that kid's life. Okay? I have great things that I want to accomplish in his life because he's only there because I love him. When you were born, the first person that looked you in the eye was God. And he was standing there in the living room. He was all excited. He had his scrubs on and everything. And he was all excited. He was going to say, what is it? A boy? Is it a boy? Is it a boy? It's a boy! Yes! It's a boy! And he was excited. And he hugged. And he laughed. And he high-fived. And he was so excited for your birth. Because he had a great plan for you. And this was the first step. What I want you guys to see is that God loves you so much. And that's why you're here. But now, let's flip the other side of that. I love my kid, and I want him around. What's his duty? What do I want from him? There is one thing I want from him. I lied when I said I don't want anything from him. Thank you, Satan.
Satan should give you water.
Just saying. Oh, what? Oh, well, there's one thing that I want from my kid, which is what? There's one thing that I want from him. I lied when I said there's nothing I want from him. I only want one thing. Exactly. I want him to love me back. That's it. I love him, and I created him because I love him, and I have all this great stuff for him. And now, what I want from him, not to be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, anything like that, I just want him to love me back. to have a relationship with me, to not throw me out of his life, and to understand that I'm looking out for him, and I'm trying to do good stuff for him, and to like listen to me when I try to help him out. God is the same way. You know, in the Old Testament, God gave many rules to his people. You know, don't do this and don't do that and all these kinds of stuff. And someone came to Christ in the New Testament and said, look here, we're not that smart. We can't remember all the Old Testament and we can't keep all that stuff. Dumb it down for me in one sentence. What is it you want from me? What do you want from me? Don't tell me 100 rules because I can't keep 100 rules. Tell me one thing. What do you want from me? What did he say? He said, very simple. You better have this one memorized. You shall love the Lord your God. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That's Mark 12:30. Shall love the Lord your God, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know what he's saying right here? He's saying very simply, I made you because I love you, and I want you to love me back. There's a word that we can summarize all this command in like one word. And believe it or not, even though I didn't choose the songs for tonight, and I didn't choose what songs we were, you know, kind of introing with, and what I didn't know what Satan was going to say, I didn't know what Abuna was going to say, but they were all focused around this one thing. Guesses? Not love. Oh, yeah, I mean, but I want to make it more into like an action, because love is good. My problem with the word love is I can sit here and say, I love God, I love pizza, and I love to sleep. Okay? And I use the same words to describe God, pizza, sleep, and so I want to go away from the word love for a little bit. Anyone else? Begins with a W. Very good. I would put this word as worship. God created me because he loves me, has a great plan for me. I want to get that plan. What do I need to do? First and foremost thing is worship. And if you want to get that abundant life, then you must learn how to live a life of worship. Now notice I didn't say you must worship God. Because I don't think that's the answer. You must live a life of worship. What is worship? Worship is a weird word. Because I can ask 3 or 4 of you guys what worship means and get like 10 definitions. Each one of you give me 2 or 3 definitions. Worship means singing. But only certain kinds of songs, not this kind of song, is worship. Worship means kneeling. Okay? We worship you. We praise you. We worship you. Worship means doing this. What is worship? All those things are part of worship. But worship is so much greater than a song. Worship is so much greater than an act, than a matanya. All those things are in worship. But worship has to be a lifestyle. That's why he said here, I'm not just telling you to worship me with your heart, but with your soul, with your mind, and your strength. With your entire person, your entire life should be living a life of worship. Okay? What does that mean? The verse that I always think of when it comes to worship is Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, St. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The verse, or the phrase, the last phrase, reasonable service, is also translated in like the older English to like rational worship. Okay? Your reasonable service, meaning the way you should worship God. How should I worship God? Is that you should present your bodies as a living sacrifice. This verse teaches me 2 things. The first thing, like I said there, is present. It teaches me that worship, number 1, is my response to God's love. This is important. Okay? I'm not going to focus on this too much, but I know that you guys understand that I worship him because he loves me, not he loves me because I worship him. See the difference? Okay? God doesn't love me because I worship him. I worship him because he loves me. God does all the first stuff. Okay? He created me. He blessed me. He sanctifies me. He does, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And therefore, my response should be worship, not vice versa. I don't worship God as sometimes we think to like get stuff from God. Sometimes we try to let, make a deal with God. Hey, look, God, I'm going to sing this song and this song and this song and really belt it out. You answer all these prayers. No. Okay? It's a response. The second thing is that worship is a present. It says present your bodies. Worship is giving something to God. It's physically giving him a present. What's the present? What in the world can you give to God that he doesn't have? You know what it's like to shop for your dad on Father's Day? Okay? My dad is old, okay? And because he's old, he's received every gift there is to have. Okay? He doesn't need new shirts. He has 100 of them. They all look exactly the same. He doesn't need any more ties. He certainly doesn't need any more mugs. We've got him all the mugs that there is to be got. It's very difficult to shop for someone who has everything. What in the world can you give God that he doesn't have? Don't ask me, and don't think about it. Exactly what he said in that verse a little bit ago. Okay, go backwards a couple slides. He mentioned four things. And if you want to know what a life of worship is, God gave us the definition right here. Your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And if you want to know how to live a life of worship, you must learn how to worship God, how to give God, how to present to God. I'm going to put heart and soul together, okay? And I'm going to put them into three things. Heart and soul, mind, and strength. You must learn how to give God your heart and soul, which is your passion, your affection. You must learn how to give God your mind, which is your intellect and your thoughts. And you must learn how to give God your strength, which is like the practical application of your abilities. You know, the church, in its infinite wisdom, taught us how to remember this verse every time we pray. Every time you pray, you remember to give God your mind, your heart, and your strength. You know how? Every time you pray, you remember to give God your mind, then you remember to give him your heart, and you remember that he wants your strength as well. And every time you make that sign of the cross, you remember that. That I should love the Lord my God with all my mind, all my heart and my soul, and all my strength. Because these are the three things that he's asking for. Too often in life, we invent a present to give to God. And we say, I'm sure God would want this. Well, my hope is, I'm just going to take this verse. I'm not going to invent anything. I'm going to see what God said that he wanted. And he named for me three things. My mind, my heart and my soul, and my strength. Let's discover what each one of those three means real quick. Okay? First is my mind. And if you want to learn how to worship God with your mind, you worship God on an intellectual basis first by focusing your thoughts and your attention on him. It always starts up here. Okay? It always starts up here. Anything that happens in life starts with your thoughts. And if you want to know how to change your life, if you change your thoughts, you can change your whole life. Because everything in life starts as a thought. Let's say, for example, I get like a sad thought or depressing thought. My thought is, my life stinks. Okay? My life stinks. There's a thought that just entered my head. If that thought stays in my head, it's going to eventually lead to an emotion, which is, I'm sad, and I feel, and I sit, and all this kind of stuff. And then if that emotion's there long enough, it's going to lead to an action. Sitting in my room by myself sulking. Again, being a miserable person in life. And then, if that action stays long enough and I do it enough times, it becomes a habit. And if I have enough depressing habits, I have a depressing character. Your thoughts lead to emotions. Emotions lead to actions. Actions lead to habits. Habits lead to character. But it all starts up there. This is like Command Central. This is headquarters. So if you can change your thoughts, then you can change your life. God wants us to worship him with our thoughts. How many of us worship God in a mentally neutral state? Meaning, I show up to church, I walk in, okay, and I'm really ready for liturgy, this and that, and then, boom. As soon as I get in the routine of things, then it becomes just motions. Okay? And I tell you where I see this. I go down at Amin, come back up, hey, it's communion time. Great worship. Really worship God, boom. Sometimes we sing the same song over and over and over, and the mind is just in La La Land. That's not how God wants to be worshipped. Okay? God wants to be worshipped with our attention. Why? Very simply, because that's how he treats us. Psalm 139. Look what it says right here. This is what God is saying about you. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up, and are acquainted with all my ways. Did you know that God knows when you sit down and when you stand up? And he's looking, he said, oh, so-and-so just stood up. Oh, so-and-so just kneeled down. And they're still kneeling down. And they're still kneeling down. And they're still kneeling down. It's time for them to get up. He knows when you rise and when you sit. He knows when you stand. He knows when you sneeze. He knows when you everything. He's always watching you with such care and love. Not in like a bad, like a policeman kind of a way, but in like a father, like, okay, if you're not parents, I always just laugh at parents who do this, but then I became one of those dorky parents who do it. The kid is home sleeping, and you've been out all day, so you go in, and you just kind of, oh, he's sleeping, and he's so cute, and he's a little cup. Sometimes you go and you just watch your kid, okay? And if you're not parents, you don't understand it. If you are parents, if you have a heart, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Okay? God never takes his eyes off you for a second. And he wants us to reciprocate that same thing with him. You know why this is so important? Because the greatest sign of love is attention. To all the gentlemen in the room right here, okay, who are preparing for relationships, let me give you some free pre-marriage counseling, no charge to you. How many husbands fall into the same trap, which is, now I will say in English, you can imagine in Arabic it's that much more expressive, okay? I don't know what the lady wants from me, okay? I work hard and I make money, and I pay the bills, and I mow the lawn, and I change the oil in the toilet, and I'm always doing this, 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 and that for her. What does she want from me? I do everything for her. What's the answer, buddy? Exactly. She wants your attention. She don't want you working jobs for her. She don't want you mowing the grass for her. She doesn't care about the grass. You care about it, okay? She wants your attention, man. And it's the same thing with God. Because your attention says, I love you much more than the stuff that you do. Don't think that God wants us just to do stuff for him. That's what we think. I want to love God more, so I'm going to do more stuff for him. It doesn't start with doing stuff. It starts with attention and with just giving him the time that he needs. Okay? How to do that practically? Hopefully for each one of these points, I'll give you a practical point. I hope that each one of you already has established a daily time with God. Okay? And I'm pretty confident that most of you have, but for those of you who haven't, this is the most important thing. That you establish a daily time, you sit with God, and he's all that's on your attention. Phone doesn't ring. Okay, TV doesn't go on, email, little dings and notifications have to go off. It's just me and God one-on-one. And if you can't give God that one-on-one time with no distractions, it's really hard for me to say I love him if I can't give him that time. Christ spoke about this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Okay? Some people who maybe are not, or struggle with quiet time or anything like that, what am I supposed to do when I get there? There's no formula, okay? I don't tell husbands, okay, when you get to spend time with your wife, tell her these words and tell her, no, it loses, you don't have to say anything, okay? Just say whatever it is that you feel, but you have, trust me, 99% of the quiet time, at least for me, 99% of it is just getting there. The last 1% is what to do when I'm there. The hardest part for me is to shut off the phone, is to get up early, is to quiet the junk around me and put myself in that presence. And then the 1%, you'll figure it out when you get there. And when you start to do that, you'll start to reap the rewards. The rewards, another verse that hopefully, this is a great verse to memorize. You'll like this one. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. When you establish this daily routine with God, this daily time with God, where he has your attention, I promise you, you will reap the rewards of it even if you don't realize it. You will reap the rewards of it because God, it's not me. It's based on God's word. He says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. The one who keeps his attention focused on God, God will keep that person in perfect peace. Okay? So that's the first one, is I give him and worship with my mind. And I have to worship him thoughtfully. There's a very, very nice hymn in the church that we say during Kiyak. Okay, the hymn of Tinan. Does anyone know what the words of Tinan mean? That's Tinoin Sok. That's a good try, though. That's just a nice hymn. Tinan, hymn of three saintly youth. I don't know exactly off the top of my head. It says, therefore we offer up unto you psalmodies with Ananias, Azarias, Misael, our rational worship to you, or something like that. Like our thoughtful worship to you. And what it's the hymn that's very joyful and very loud and very long, okay? And it's saying we're not just offering up just melodies, but we're offering up thoughtful melodies, because that's what God wants, okay? Not just autopilot worship. Second thing he wants is my affection, my heart and my soul. This is where you get into the, you know, the stuff that the guys aren't as good at. The affectionate, the, you know, the love and the band, all this kind of stuff that, you know, sometimes as guys we don't like to kind of talk about, okay? I remember back to like when we were in like, remember when we were in junior high school and, you know, you liked this girl and you think this girl liked you, but you couldn't say it, okay, because what if she didn't like you? So what you did is you got your friends and you sent spies over there to go see, like, is she talking about me and stuff like that? Because it's hard to say that I like you until I know that you like me first. And a lot of us have this ingrained with God as well. But here's the good news about God. God already said it. Before you knew how to speak, God said, I love you, 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 I love you. And you know what? I love you. I love you. No matter what you can do, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you with such passion and such zeal and such emotion that there is no fear of rejection. There's no concern that he won't say the same thing back. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. All fear of rejection is removed. All worry that I'm going to say to God, I love you, and he's going to say, well, I don't want to have anything to do with you, is gone. If we're honest. Again, I don't know you guys, so I can say this without anyone thinking I'm talking about them. A lot of times, what I see, people have a tough time loving God because of their parents. Okay? Because a lot of times, our parents didn't express to us the affection and their love for us. We automatically, I see it so typical, especially with fathers more than mothers. Okay? My dad never told me he loved me. My dad, not talking about me. Okay, I'm talking about a person whose dad never told me he loved him. Dad never smiled at him, never accepted him. And then he comes to Sunday school and you say, God is our father. Call God your father. He's just like your father. No, thank you. Okay? I got one. I'm not very happy with that one. Why would I need another one? I'm not joking. This causes people some mental blocks. God is our father, but he's so much better than your earthly father or your earthly mother. And even those who have great parents, God is still times 10 million. Okay? Every single page of the Bible says, I love you. All right? And it's not just once or twice. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. Because God says, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, therefore I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. This is very important right here. The goal of my day, every single day, is one thing. To know him and love him more. The goal of my day, every single day. I wake up in the morning, and believe me, this thing doesn't stop beeping with my to-do list and my appointments and my this and that. And I have a to-do list that's longer than I can and anyone can imagine. If I accomplish every single one of those things, and I didn't know God any better, I failed. Today was a failure. Today was a wasted day. Today was a day that just, psh, throw it away. It is, as you would say, rubbish. I'd have said trash, but you would have said rubbish, so I gave you the rubbish. The day that the day finishes, and I don't know God a little bit better, is a day that was of no value. If my goal is to worship God affectionately, then the goal has to be, every single day, I either grow in love of him, or I grow in knowledge of him. Okay? Because one leads to the other. Okay? You can't know God and not love God. Because God is all love. Okay? So the more you know, like, some people, anyone who ever says, I don't love God enough, the answer is not true. The answer is, you don't know God enough. Okay? Because if you knew God, you have no choice. If you saw how much God loved you, which none of us can see. Like, we use that expression so much. Again, the word love, it's very difficult. Love of God is something that no one can describe. Even St. Paul, who had visions and visions and visions, said, I can't describe how high it is, how low it is, how wide it is. I can't describe. It's a mystery how much God loves us. Okay? If you see it, you have no choice but to lay yourself down. So your problem is not that you don't love God enough. Your problem is you don't know God's love enough. And that's where I would tell you to try to grow deeper in that one. God says many times, especially in the Old Testament, maybe you've heard him say this, that he's a jealous God. You heard that? God says, I am a jealous God. You know what that means? Like, it doesn't mean jealous in like the boyfriend-girlfriend kind of a way. It means jealous in a passionate way. Like, jealousy is one of the most passionate emotions that you can have. It's where, like, jealousy can make you go crazy because you're just full of passion. That's the way God is. And that's the way God expresses ourselves for him. How do I express myself to him? Thank you for this day. Thank you for my shoes. Please bless me. This and that. Where's the passion? Okay? It's almost embarrassing. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing if I go home to my wife on our anniversary and I bring her some flowers. And I say, sweetheart, I am bringing you a set of flowers for three strategic reasons. Number one, you are my wife and I am your husband. Number two, it is our anniversary. And number three, it is the duty of a husband on the anniversary to give his wife flowers. Here you go. Another pre-marriage counseling tip, guys, don't do that. Don't do that. Okay? Because that's not what she wants. There's got to be some passion. Got to be some stuff in it. Okay? And it should be the same thing with God. God doesn't want just come. I'm not talking about you right now. I see this in my life. How many times I come to liturgy, I'm supposed to start at 12, and now it's 12:05, and I'm late, and I got to finish at this time because it's not, so I'm just there offering incense. And I'm just, let's give thanks. And I'm just there. And sometimes I feel myself, when I come back to this verse, I don't want burnt offerings. Like, what am I doing? God needs incense. God needs me to offer charcoal like this. Like, who cares? If I'm not doing it from my heart, who cares? Like, I'm telling you, I sincerely feel that in my own worship of God, and I don't think it's any different for any one of us. It's great that you pray the Agape. It's great that you sing the song. It's great you come to liturgy from the start. It's great you know every hymn in the whole wide world. Who cares? If there's no heart and passion in it, it's more of a slap in the face, to be honest. Right? I think my wife would rather not have the flowers at all than me giving her an obligation saying, I'm your husband, I have to do this so that you don't throw me out of the house. Remember, worship is a response to God's love for us. So if you want to grow in your affection and love and knowledge of God, start by trying to understand his love a little bit more. Okay? Mind, heart, last one. My strength is my ability. This is the practical aspect. And anytime, hey, I'm going to give you another marriage tip right here. Anytime there's love, it has to manifest itself in practical ways. Okay? This is the husband on the other extreme who says, sweetheart, I would cross the deepest ocean for you. Yes, I am. And I would climb the highest mountain. And I would give this and give that. The response to the wife is, okay, would you do the dishes? Don't tell me you jump in front of a train for me. Roll up your sleeve and wash the dishes. God is oftentimes the same way. Sometimes we focus too much on the emotional side and on the practical side. There's no such thing as real love that doesn't end up in action. Because love is an action, okay? That's why God commands it, okay? He commands us to love. Love the Lord your God with all your hearts. I can't command you, be happy or be hungry. I can't command a feeling, but I can command an action. So when Christ says to love, he's saying do something. And it has to be manifest in action. I'm going to show you a verse right now. Again, I told you many important verses. This verse, if you understand this verse, can really revolutionize your entire life. Colossians 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. What this verse is saying is that, you know what? You don't need to join a monastery to worship God more. You don't need to do 5-hour quiet times to worship God more. You don't need to leave everything and go be a hermit. Because that's sometimes what we think, is that I wish I could worship God more, but I live in the world, so therefore there's nothing I can do. What this verse says is that you can worship God in every single thing that you do. Our problem is we like to compartmentalize life too much. This is my worship life, God, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, whatever. This is my work life, this is my school life, this is my joking life, this is... No, okay? You can worship God. Get rid of the compartments. God wants to be in every single one of those, and everything should be life of worship, and you should worship Him in all those things. How? Listen to this one for some knowledge. It's not what you do, it's who you do it for. What I mean by that is that no matter what you do in life, if you're a banker, if you're an accountant, if you're a trash man, if you're just a bum on the street, you can live a life of worship to God by doing it for the Lord. Maybe not bum. Leave the bum on the side. Okay? You're a trash man. If you do it heartily, ask to the Lord, that can be an expression of your worship to God. What I mean by that is, God wants you to worship Him with whatever talents and abilities He gave you. If He gave you to be, let's say, for example, my man over here, Andrew, plays the guitar like no one I've seen in a while, and I give him credit. I like the way he plays the guitar. God gave him that ability and that gift. Now, to worship God, does he have to throw away all his gifts and abilities and join a monastery or go live on the moon or something like that? No. But what he takes, the gifts and the abilities that he has, and he uses it for the glory of God Almighty. And you can do the same thing with whatever it is that you do in life. Worship is not just a Sunday morning thing. It's not just a singing thing. It's a 24/7 kind of a thing. And the more that you get to worship God with your mind and understand His love for you and focus your attention on Him, and then it will lead to worshiping Him emotionally and affectionately, it will then lead to action. It has to be that way. We were singing that song earlier, and I didn't even realize it, but it said that recite song, one of my favorite songs, Light of the World. So I wrote it down. It says, Light of the World, you step down to darkness. What's the next line? Open my eyes, let me see. Next line. Beauty that made this heart adore, a life spent with you, or for you. Don't you see the progression? It always starts up here. Okay, it starts up here. And I'm not going to use myself as the only example, but I'll just say, my life story, okay, in a nutshell. As I came to a decision, one point in time, that I need to start making God a serious part of my life. I didn't have, like, this transformation where I almost got killed in a car accident and I was on drugs. I didn't have any of that kind of stuff. I had a normal life, like normal people, and I was living away from God, and I came to a realization, God exists, and He needs to be part of my life. I don't know much about Him. I've been to Sunday school. I need to make Him part of my life. And I started to spend more time focusing on Him. Reading, praying, asking questions, confessing. I started to make Him more and more part of the stuff that's in my head. That naturally lets you, like I said, the more you know God, it naturally leads to a love and zeal for the Lord. It can't be anything opposite than that. And that, in turn, leads to a life of consecration. A life where you give everything that you have for God. Okay? And I'm not saying you all have to be priests. And, well, I know at least 50% of you should never become priests. Okay? I'm not saying that you all have to be dressed in black robes like this. But what I am saying is that all of you should seek to live this life of worship in everything. I'm going to go back to a verse that I showed you in the beginning. Okay? And let's try to understand this again. This is the verse that I said is the summary of a life of worship. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. The phrase that I want to focus on there is a living sacrifice. What is a living sacrifice? Do you ever think about what this phrase means? What is a living sacrifice? You know what a living sacrifice is? It's exactly like me saying a living, an alive, dead person. Because sacrifice equals death. Sacrifice equals someone is going to die. Okay? If I say that I'm going to make a sacrifice tonight, okay, something will die. Whether it's a cat or a dog or whatever I decide to sacrifice, things that get sacrificed aren't living. So how can St. Paul say that you should be a living sacrifice? Do you know what that means? Most sacrifices, all sacrifices, like I said, You bring a cow here to the altar, you chop its head off, it's dead. But he's saying, I want that cow to be a living sacrifice. You know what he's saying he wants us to do? He wants me every single day to go to the altar, chop my head off, crucify myself, die daily. Then he wants me to go off into my job, into my school, into my whatever, and live as a dead person. He wants me to get up the next morning, come back to the same altar, do the exact same thing. That's a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice is a daily sacrifice, an hourly sacrifice, a minutely sacrifice. And that's what a life of worship is all about. A life of worship is not something, okay, now we finished worship. That's a dead sacrifice. That's a sacrifice we bring here, we chop it, then we go out there and we have a good time. A living sacrifice comes here, gets killed, goes around as a dead person all day long, gets up in the morning, does the same thing again. Gets to work, does the same thing again. And you can make an altar at your office. You can make an altar in your home. You can make an altar in your classroom. That every single day, you walk in, chop that head off, and you offer yourself as a sacrifice to God. You offer him this, you offer him this, and you offer him this. Last thing I'll say. Every single one of us here is living a life of worship. But it may not be necessarily with God. Because we were hardwired to worship. Here's what I want you to think about in trying to figure out if you're living a life of worship to God. I said your mind, your affection, your abilities. Let's start with your mind. What consumes your mind? What takes place most of the time in your mind? Your bills, you worship money. What's always going through in there? Is it my hair, my weight, my this? I worship myself. My school, I worship my grades. What others think of me, I worship other people. What you give your mind to is who you worship, or what you worship. Ask yourself, what controls my thoughts? Next, ask yourself, what controls my affection? What am I passionate about? I know sometimes it's hard for us to be passionate about God, but if football makes me passionate, and God makes me, then I know where my worship is. If my job, if I go in there and my boss says this and I just go crazy on him and I'm ready to kill someone, then maybe my worship is my career. See what I'm saying? What is it that incites you, either positive or negative? Some of us, it's not, had nothing to do with God. Number three, your abilities. What do you spend most of your time doing? Don't tell me that you love God and God's number one in your life, and I look at my calendar of events, and the number of events which is directly related to God is like 1 hour a week, or 2 hours on a Sunday morning. That ain't worship. What is my abilities focused on? Is it focused on glorifying God and worshiping God and loving God, or focused on building a kingdom of money for myself? Building a prestige, a name for myself. Ask yourself what it is that you're investing in. I'll show you two last verses right here. Two great verses. Okay? Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When you learn how to make God number one, okay? Satan has said it best. He makes you the apple of his eye. Or like this verse said, he orders your steps. Do you know what the apple of your eye is? Do you know what that literally is? What's the apple of your eye? Yeah, it's the, correct me if I'm mistaken, doctor. It's the white stuff, right? The white stuff. Okay? Someone comes near the white, like, it's like the most precious and protected area that you could imagine. Like, someone just, like, it's even built in us, and someone comes, like, you know what I'm saying, right? It's the most protected and taken care of stuff. Never do I just let the apple in my eye just, okay, whatever happens, whatever gets in there. Okay? It's something that I take such care of. And that's what God is saying with the verse that Satan told us from, it was Psalm 18 or 17. That's what this verse says, is that he orders your very steps. He takes care of you even when you don't realize it. And that's why St. Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. You were made to know God. You were made to love God. And That should be the number one purpose of life. And hopefully what we see for the rest of this weekend is how to make that practical. And you're going to see that if you're not worshiping God up here, you're not worshiping God in there, and you're not worshiping God there, then you're offering Him a sacrifice which He didn't ask for. And you're denying Him what He did ask for. He asked for it very plainly and simply. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Okay? Anyone have any questions? It's past midnight. I'm sorry it takes so much time. What I said was, in the very, very, very beginning, that God wants you to have not an ordinary life, but a great and magnificent and supernatural, abundant kind of life. But in order to get it, we don't know how to get it. And you can't figure it out by yourself because it's something that's like attic boy you never experienced. All you can do is do what God tells you to do. Okay, what did God tell me to do? The first and foremost thing that He told me to do is live a life of worship. This is the primary thing that He said. When we said, what do you want from me? He said, worship me, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we went through each one of those. It means to worship my mind, keep my thoughts focused on Him. Worship with my heart means to be passionate and affectionate. Worship with my abilities means like the practical, the action kinds of steps. Okay? And the greater your love for God and the greater your level of worship, the greater each of these things will be. The goal is infinity in all of them. That all of my thoughts are focused on Him. That I'm like Romans 12, 2, that do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The goal is that I love Him, that He says that I'm jealous God, that He's passionate about us. I say, well, I'm just as passionate about you as well. And He's 100% in there. And the goal is that 100% of concert of my abilities, that I'm consecrated to Him fully, 100% of my day-to-day activities. Okay? Did I miss anything? Leave anything out? And I gave marriage advice as well.